Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord loves us, and He thoroughly blesses us in every way. As we endeavor to know God, it's wise to pay attention to the methods of the Lord. The more we understand His methods, we understand Him. Everything that God does is, in fact, communication. There's an order to everything that He does. And I learned, if you pay attention to what He does and how He uses you and what He has you to say, you can get to know Him in a much greater way. And your life will be so much better off. In the beginning, when God said, let there be light, that's when He restored the earth. The earth had been judged, that was darkness on the face of the deep. And I just want to interject this now. Whenever there's total darkness and no light shining, he turned the sun on and all the stars back on after the first day. He concealed their light. But on the fourth day, that's when the sun came. So the light that God was dealing with, was talking about, was His glory. When He said, let there be light. That's the illumination that God was talking about. The glory of God. That's the light that He said was good. And He divided the light from the darkness. The light He called day and the darkness He called night. Now Jesus picked it up. He said, children of the day and children of the night. Children of the day are people who are alive to God. The methods of God are wise. He does wise things. He's wise in all of His ways. In His wisdom, He gave us prosperity that we earn day by day. Some people they have businesses and they taken time to set up businesses that make thousands of dollars every day. But their responsibilities are greater. They have to make sure they take in enough to make sure everybody's paid. And then they get paid and they enjoy profits. The profits of their labor. And because they set the business up, they own the company. They own the business. And they take care of the company. They pay the people of the company bonuses sometimes. But the profits is theirs to manage. And many people pray for management skills but even in a business, businesses need a lot more money than a household does. So there are wise Christian businessmen who believe God for what they need in business, just like there are people of God who believe God for their everyday needs in their house, in their household. But the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, healing, salvation, those things are given promptly. A man can be a sinner all of his life, and just before he dies, he can believe on Jesus Christ and live forever. He can receive salvation the moment he believes. Same thing with healing. You can believe if you can believe it, if the power that works in you is there enough to believe God's word, without doubt, you can receive your healing because Jesus already paid for it. Now, when people struggle to do that because they're in pain and their focus is on the pain and the fact that nobody they know have gotten healed. And then there are those who operate in healing. They've been around it and they've seen people heal and they expect to be healed. So the power that works in them is stronger and they'll get healed. I once asked the Lord, what is the power that works in you according to Ephesians chapter 4? And He says, the sum of what you believe. You take everything you believe and sum it up, just like in addition. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. 4 would be the sum. You sum up all of your faith, all the vision you have, against all the doubt that's against you and the traditions. See, traditionally, in some circles, traditionally people don't get healed. So they doubt against their faith, or they're tempted to doubt against their faith. See, doubt is a surrendering focus. That's what the Lord told me it was. It focuses on the negative and it surrenders. That's what doubt does. So the rules are, that Jesus explained, remember, life is holy. The life of God is holy. God is good, not bad. He gave you life, and he expects you to. It's our reasonable responsibility to take God at his word and not Satan at his. The word of God said we're healed, so we ought to say, I'm healed. And that's a fact. You can make such a statement in a heart full of faith without doubt. Even faith the size of a grain of mustard seed will work, as long as you don't doubt in your heart. Even if you doubt in your mind, just don't doubt in your heart. If you don't doubt in your heart, it will be done. And you can hold fast claim to the promises of God that God has given you. Same thing with knowledge, same thing with wisdom, same thing with understanding. But when it comes to things you desire, things you would work for, you know, Christians have a job. You know, everybody ought to have a job they go to and do whatever it is they do in their career. And then God will bless it. But that kind of prosperity comes day by day. I said in the last broadcast, most people, they want their prosperity to come just like salvation. Well, it doesn't work that way, because you have to merit prosperity. You have to earn it. And see, when David said, I won't offer God anything that costs me nothing. David wants whatever he gets he wants whatever he gives God to cost him. And that's a blessing, because that means that you're going to be rewarded for what you've done. The Lord's going to, that's a blessing. That's why our tithes are so precious to God, our offerings. We took time out of our life to work, and we take a percent of what we've done, at least 10%. And it was hard work we did. We had to use our brain, our thoughts, our wit to earn money. And then we give 10%, at least 10% to God. And when we see people in need, we help them out. Some ministries take in more money than others. And some, they really give to the poor. They find poor people and they help them. They help the home. They don't turn their back on the homeless. There are missions out there that house people. And see, sometimes as businessmen, we want God to bless our businesses at the same rate of speed that he gives us knowledge and wisdom. Which a lot of people, they ask God for things more than they ask him for knowledge and wisdom, which is a reverse. That shouldn't happen. We should ask God for knowledge and wisdom. And we won't have such a problem with prosperity or being prosperous. Money won't solve your problem like wisdom and knowledge will. But when we ask the Lord for knowledge and wisdom, he will give that to us liberally at a much faster rate than what you can do with the work of the sweat of your hands, the work of your hands. But the work of your hands is good. It has a place. You have a part. That's your resource. Now, when I saw how wonderful it is to, you know, Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. And I received that word as a child. You know, I said, that's true. When I help other people, I feel good than if I just frolic my day away doing what I want to do. Now, we all have time. We work hard during the week, and we need time to rest. That's not taken away from that. You know, they pointed out on the Christian broadcast that out of the Ten Commandments, Christians keep all of them except one, and that's the Sabbath, the rest. They don't take time and rest like they should. You need to take a day every week and rest. Just, you know, the Sabbath is a Saturday. Take a day and rest. Do something fun. Your life will be over with soon, especially if you spend all your days working and worrying about bills. We have to set our lives up to take time off and unwind. Now, I did this. I've done everything. As a businessman, there are times I get so many calls to fix, and I'll spend my Saturday trying to catch up. But the Saturdays that I would take time and rest, and just do something I wanted to do and rest and sleep late, I made better decisions. I made my worst decisions ever when I continually didn't take an off day. When I kept working, I would work every day, Saturday, and after church, I might work some more. The next week, I was wore out, and my thinking process was foggy, and I was drained, and I made the dumbest decisions that really just set me back. I would have done better just taking me a day of rest so I could think. And then I wouldn't have made such foolish decisions. And then my work week would go better. I was more organized. in my thoughts and in all that I did. Well, I know this. And sometimes things happen in life. It even happened to Jesus. He had done what God wanted him to do, and he was headed to the mountain so he could pray and just fellowship with the Lord. And then over the mountain, here comes a multitude. And he taught all, you know, for hours. And then he did a miracle that fed him. And his disciples passed out food for hours. You know, let's say he had 100 men, and then he passed out enough food to feed 5,000 men and their families. They were all working, and he was already tired. Remember, Jesus had a body. He did get tired. And we get tired. Our bodies are designed to sleep. We're not like angels yet that don't need sleep. We need sleep. Beyond all that, even though you need sleep, your body gets tired, it's a blessing that you can work and do labor with your hands. Because I wanted to serve God. I wanted to do something for the kingdom. Before I ministered, I wanted to do something for God. I loved him. I had an attitude of gratitude, and I wanted to serve him. And I found out, I learned something as I learned to love his people back in 1987, that I can work as unto God. Now, I read that scripture, work as unto God, not unto men. And I used those principles to serve mankind. And my bosses, when I got saved, my attitude changed toward my bosses and my responsibilities. Now, I always did good work. Mama taught me and my parents taught me to have a good work ethic and earn your money. They taught me that. And I thank God for it. They were a good example to me. I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for them and their ways. My mother was a school teacher, and she taught, she made the people learn. Everybody that I talked to that went through her classes, they remember her, and she was a third grade teacher. How many people remember that third grade teacher? And many people might, but they remember her fondly because she made them learn. She knew how to teach. That was her God-given gift, and she yielded. And my daddy had a job at U.S. Pipe in North Birmingham. He worked in the rockwool section. And when he got off, he was tired. And he took a shower every day at work because he'd be too dirty to come home. And so he'd take clothes and he'd shower at work before he'd come home. And when he got home, he was tired, bone tired, just tired. And then every Saturday, he'd go to Utah, Alabama and preach. And he did well. Now, I saw this growing up, and not only them, others in the neighborhood. I came from a nice neighborhood, and the men would work at factories like Stock and Bab, and some worked at metal places, and they all had nice houses, and then they'd do their lawn would be so beautiful, and the grass would be full and thick, and no rocks in the yard, and they'd pick the weeds out by hand. And they had immaculate, you know, just beautiful. You didn't want to walk in their grass. And they were my parents was 40 years old when I was born. And most of the people, the adults in the neighborhood, were in their late 30s and about 40s when I was young, very young. And they were a more established people. Because people that's just starting out in their 20s, you know, they didn't, especially in those days, they didn't have much. In 1960, anybody that was 40 years old was born in the Great Depression. So they really had a rough beginning. But they were more established because they continued to do the principles of God. They continued to work. And they worked. And they had to work as under God, especially in those days. Because good jobs were not always easy to get. And when you got one, you had to work it. And you had to be on time, and you didn't deviate. Or your family, you could lose everything if you did. And they worked, and they didn't mind. They didn't complain. And my mom never complained. She made those kids learn what they had to learn. And she filled their heart with the Word of God. Now, because we have to work every day, that's not negative. That gives us a chance to build our lives. Like I said in the last broadcast, when you work, when you do the work with your own hands and your own blood, sweat, and tears, You value what you work for. Now, I've watched for many, I've watched a long time. People, there are parents out there that give their children everything. Now, God don't do like parents. Sometimes, you know, there are some parents, they foolishly give their children everything. They try to make their children comfortable. And their children can't value work. They don't value going to work and getting paid and living a foundational life. They want to be in the house in the air conditioner and let somebody else work. And they become what society calls spoiled. That's not God's way. In the kingdom of God, everybody does what they're supposed to. They have a duty to perform. And they do their part. They're not like the kingdom of darkness freeloaders. That's, freeloading is not love. And asking God to give you what belongs to somebody else and you're not willing to work for it is covetous. And the word teaches us not to be covetous. Even if it's a job that has it's a multi-billion dollar corporation and you want them to give you money and you're not going to earn it, that is covetous. And it's not right. It's not God's way. And it's definitely not God's best. You know, being able to work and God can bless the work of your hands, that's a blessing all by itself. Being able to work as unto God is a blessing. Being able to witness to others and let people know about the goodness of the Lord is a blessing. It's all a blessing. The ability to do ministry work and help others. You know, we can't pay God back for saving us. But all that we do for Him is a blessing. And it puts spiritual wealth in our account. Now, Jesus paved the way for everybody to go to heaven. And they can choose to go to heaven. And everybody has an account. Even people that go to hell have a spiritual wealth account. Because after the great white throne judgment, God is going to reward people for the good that they did do while they were on earth. But they won't go to heaven, and they can't. And hell will be put in the lake of fire. I don't know what their reward will be, but they will be rewarded. But other than that, they still have no future. God is just. And we need to know that our labor is not in vain. A lot of people are grudging against work and the fact that they have to work. But I've seen people that don't work, and people give them, pay their way through life, and their muscles are soft. And they're not using their mind. And they have an inner embarrassment. And they become idle. And they cause more problems than people that work every day. They're the kind that will steal. And they become covetous. See, but when you work as under God, you value what you work for. And you know that you learn to value what other people work for. And there's a healthier respect for the things that are attained. If a working man gets a car, he's more apt to take care of it than a person that was given a car. Some parents are wealthy and they give their children everything they want. And their children are not learning the value of work and earning. That's another side of finances that need to be taught and learned by everybody. Everybody needs to learn how to prosper health in a healthy way. And parents who allow their children to be idle, I've seen it too many times. They give their parents so much trouble in most cases, or in many cases. Not every case. Some people do appreciate things, and they go on and build their life. But usually the ones that were given everything, they don't. They usually start being responsible later in life and not when they should. But all my friends, I had some friends, they worked too much. And they worked all the time. And they got in their heart that way. That's out of balance too. But the best situation, God's best, is to work and rest. Work and enjoy life. Healthy relationships. When you work, you appreciate what you're working for. Now, Ecclesiastes and also in Proverbs, Solomon said that if you try to, those who are desperately trying to be rich, they drown themselves in sorrow. they create more sorrows for their lives. Now, this is because you can't rush prosperity, even if you try to overwork and accomplish it. It's better to have a enjoy life and have a living plan. When you're under pressure to do something, and if you have any fear, Satan is attached to that fear. Or that fear attaches Satan to your life. And that's not necessary to attach Satan to your life. Now, in many other broadcasts, I explain that a little better. Faith enables God to work in your life from the spiritual realm to the natural realm. Your faith activates God. Your fear also activates Satan. Whatever you do out of fear, whatever you say or act on out of fear, it attaches Satan to your life. Job said, "The things I greatly feared has come upon me." Some people fear being poor, so they work all the time and they don't take time to rest. You don't have to push yourself to the limit and the brink to win prosperity. You don't have to cheat and compromise and use fear tactics to get people to give. Some ministers, they tell people, if you want to be blessed, give to this ministry. Only those who do it from the heart are blessed the most. Those who who give out of fear, God didn't, he never asked you to give out of fear. In fact, he said, don't give out of fear. Whatever you do, do it out of love. Give what you've earned, not what somebody gave you, not what somebody earned for you. That's what, you know, if you do things God's way, you'll have God's results. But those who are given everything, they don't have a healthy respect for what they have. They get upset when people don't, children that are given a car and they don't have any part in it. They were given a car. There's a temptation when something goes wrong to bring it back to their parents who gave it to them. Not get a job and see about getting it fixed. And if their parents don't do it fast enough, they feel insulted. Parents are not your slaves, children. And God is not your slave either. He gave you natural resources. He gave you resources that you can build your life with. So everything that you buy or sell, everything you attain, it took somebody effort to build it, or it took you effort to make it or earn it. And the love of God is not satisfied until everybody that had a part is paid in full and respected. That's the love of God. Prosperity is added to our life. He said, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. And he said also that don't worry about the things of this world and the things you don't have and what you're going to eat and wear and what you're going to buy and drive and live in. Don't worry about it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Get a firm understanding on how the kingdom of God works and what your part is. And act on the love of God. That's the result of seeking first the kingdom of God. Act on his love. And all these things will be added. And if you use the wisdom of God, it will be added and there'll be no sorrow attached with it. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Everything you do, do it well. Do it from the heart and do it God's way. And you'll see what the old preachers talk about. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus is our Lord.